Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Hey.
Hey, sir. Well, I am not going to annoy you. I want to make two contributions.
So I don't get annoyed, you know.
I don't want to annoy you.
Tell me what's up.
Up to 2 weeks ago, I have not got that broken pipe fixed.
Pipe fixed yet?
Not yet. Up to 2 weeks ago. All right? So I just updating you, not annoying you with that.
All right.
Now, the other two contributions I want to make, Craig, is that why, if I ask, go to the ID department and ask to have my identification card replaced, because every business house I go to and I present it, I'm being told that the edges is cocked up and you need to get it changed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I come and I said, look, I need to get a change ID. And I was told I have to bring my birth certificate. No, Mr. Johnson, what my birth certificate have to do with the replacing of the ID card?
Sir, I am sure they tell you that's a requirement. I suppose to prove that you were born in Barbados so that they could verify what color background to put behind your picture or to put your nationality. I don't know. There are requirements.
But you can't have all of that, Mr. Johnson.
So I know that. So it's like having all that information in your passport too, and people asking for another form of ID. Regulation, whatever it is, so and so, states, and that's what it is. I could only presume that's what it is. I don't know.
But then that is an outdated requirement because the card already displayed or have all the information in it, and it's a replacement.
Well,
it's not,
I hope,
you know, applying for a new one.
I hope the new ones, because there's supposed to be new ones coming out, will remove some of the questions, queries, and again, that those edges get frayed quite quickly. And I know the reason why people are worried is because they're afraid that, you know, you may be able to doctor it or do something with it. I don't know what. But, they do become frayed, and there are people who don't accept them. And those requirements when you want it renewed that you need to bring. Well, they told you in your case a birth certificate.
Right, but then again, but replace the card and update it. Like you have the one with the same driver's license. Your bank card, you know, a harder card that you don't have those problems.
Yeah, solid card.
Problem all the time.
Well, some of them, card. I got to tell you too, it depends on where you put them, man, because I broke a few bank cards sitting down with my wallet with coins in it. With coins in it. And I keep saying that the woman who invented dollar coins didn't like, there's a woman who invented, because I didn't think anybody want to put $12 coins in their pocket and sit on it. I can tell you that. But yeah.
Right. Right. My other thing, sir, is that for all of the years I'm living, and I was around politics in all forms, this is the first time I'm hearing that there's nothing called an independent senator.
Senator.
You have heard there wasn't an independent. I've never heard it.
I tried to explain what it meant on radio the last time I was on Tuesday. Because the person, you know, I actually referred to the Constitution to read exactly what the Constitution says. I've always heard government senator, opposition senator, independent senator for as long as I could remember. As long as I could remember.
Mm.
And I was quite aware of what it meant.
So in this COVID environment, we can hear a lot of changes, a lot of things that we took for granted.
We took for granted, perhaps.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Because I have always thought that an independent senator was someone who was against the government, in a sense.
Nope.
And they
was
would
not.
View the
parliament. It's not.
That's based on the Constitution, you're saying that?
No. Let me tell you. See, again, perceptions and reality. The Senate comprises of persons appointed by the Governor General.
Right.
Some of the senators appointed...
Take a pin there.
Mm-hmm.
The persons appointed to the Senate by the Governor General. All the senators?
Correct. So let me walk you through it slowly so you follow me.
Yeah, I can listen
okay?
to you.
Right.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
All senators are appointed by the Governor General because the Senate represents a reflection of the House of Lords in England, the British Parliament. So none of them are voted. They're all appointed by the Governor General, who is a representative of the Queen. A number of them are appointed by the Governor General on the advice of the government, and they're called government senators. A number of them are appointed on the advice of the leader of the opposition, and they're called opposition senators. And a number of them are appointed by the Governor General acting in their capacity as the Governor General to represent various interests, big business, small business, Rastafarian business, people with disabilities business, whomever business, Muslim business, whatever. And they're called independent senators. That's the designation given to them. And that's what the three categories mean. Government senator, appointed by the Governor General on the advice of the government. Opposition senator, appointed by the Governor General on the advice of the opposition. Independent senator, appointed by the Governor General in the Governor General's own mind to represent certain interests. That's it.
Right. So they are supposed to be independent against what or who?
They're not supposed to be independent against nothing. They're supposed to represent the interests they're put there to represent by the Governor General. So you would have somebody...
With an independent thought.
Sir, with any kind of thought. Let me ask you this question, right? If the Governor General appoints me to represent persons with disabilities, who say my thoughts gonna be anything independent? If they put you in the Senate to represent the minibus, who says that your whatever you do will be independent? You put that to represent minibuses. That's what you put that to do. If they put me to represent big business, that's who they put me to represent. They didn't say that I'm independent of thought. They don't say I'm independent of thought. They say that when I get up, I should defend big business. If I get up as the person representing persons with disabilities, that is what I should do. Here is the catch, though. And this is where all the confusion that currently exists comes up. Here's the question. If I'm put into the Senate because I'm president of the Barbados Association of Persons with Disabilities, so you put me in there to represent persons with disabilities, tomorrow morning, me and my disabilities people fall out. So I'm no longer the president, right? They now have John as the president of the person with disabilities. Should I then tell Her Excellency the Governor General, in this case because it is Her Excellency, Madam, I am no longer the president of the Association of Persons with Disabilities, Mr. John Stout now is, so I have no authority to speak on their behalf, so please, I tender my resignation. Or should I walk up into the Senate and say, listen, I have a disability. I here to defend people with disabilities. I don't care who is the president. There ain't no president no more. I ain't belong to the organization no more. But I am speaking as a disabled person on behalf of the disabled people. You see, that is the challenge. The challenge comes down to whether I accept the fact that my appointment may have been because I'm the president of the Association of Persons with Disabilities. And if I'm no longer the president, I should resign and say, let the president represent the organization. Rather than saying, I ain't belong to the organization, but as the I have a disability, so I hear the Governor General appoint me and I talk it.
So based on principle, then, there's no principle in this whole thing now.
Oh, there is. It depends on how the person reacts to it, yes.
Oh,
of course
but then all of us don't have the same...
That may be perceived as being a slur on individual or individuals who can be identified. So let me say again, it depends on how the person sees the appointment. Because if I saw my appointment as being, I have a disability, the Governor General picked me because of me, I will continue to talk. If I said to myself, I get this pick because I'm the president of the Association of Persons with Disabilities. If I am no longer the president, Let me let the president talk on behalf of them people, because I done with them. You get my point?
I get your point, right?
I want us to miss that point, you. I want you to get that point. Because if you and the madam done, and the madam say he ain't speaking on my behalf, you could stand and say, by a stage, your husband, all you want. The madam say, he ain't speaking for me, yeah? He on your own. He on your own.
So then people of my age group, then, you know, who have certain values and such, like, we can mentally prepare to understand or tell ourselves that our values are no longer valuable.
I ain't gonna say that neither.
I'm prepared to live with the change that coming around us. You know, and just stay there until your time comes to pass. Because I know years ago, values meant a lot. We could have gone to the shop for the value. But nowadays, it's changing, sir.
Well,
but,
I can't listen. Let me say this to you. Interpretation may have changed over a period of time. Okay? But in almost all cases, there are guidelines, their rules, you call them principles, and people either accept them or they don't. There are times when conflicts will arise, and you have to make a determination. I sit here as a talk show host, but I also sit here as an employee of Starcom Network. Now, that does not make me the PR person for Starcom Network. And there are times when I may have a challenge with the media, including radio. And I feel as a talk show host, I should be able to say, this is the problem I have with radio or the media. Now, if the management of the station thinks the OIC is bringing the station into disrepute or pointing fingers at, you know, the management of the structure, they will, I am sure, call me and say, look, you say so today, and I don't like how it reflected, or write me a note or whatever. And then I will have to defend my position and say, but look, I am either an employee or I am a talk show host. So if as a talk show host, I can't voice an opinion that I think is my genuine belief, if it runs afoul of the principles of the station, then I have one or two choices.
Agreed.
Write a letter of resignation, or take whatever stricture you want put on me.
It's
always a decision you have to make based on what you see as being your principles. Right. Yeah, but I can't force my principles on John or any other person. You understand? Right. So I can't tell him if you know.
Yeah, so they try to force my principles on a gentleman, and end up cursing me.
Well, that happens. That happens regularly.
I said, sir, you going down Noite 3. That is the Noite 3. You should not be driving down Noite 3.
Uh-huh.
But you know, before the time to start the clap, I get my...
You get shocked with lightning.
So, you know, if you've got certain principles and values, it's difficult to stick to them. But I think you got to stick to them. Yeah, you can get cursed.
You can get, yeah. And you get...
Are not going to like you, but it's how you feel in the end.
No, you've come wrong. You've come wrong, sir, to the place where I'm most comfortable. You take a decision and you deal with the consequences of the decision you've taken. Be prepared to do that. You know, if you know that it's wrong to go down a no-entry street and you go down, be prepared to deal with the consequence of being caught driving down a no-entry street. It don't make sense cussing the man who tell you you're doing something wrong. It don't. The consequence is you could be caught.
I'm
sure
you
did.
He know my name, you know.
He called you by name. That's why he cursed you. Look, let me tell you, since you mentioned No Entry Street, I reversed into one once because my wallet fell out of my pocket. And I was charged by the police for doing it. Police officer tell me, because you can't drive down, you feel you could reverse? I said, but sir, my wallet on the ground. If I leave here, I got to go Broad Street, go around all by the old immigration building, come back around, come back here. By then, my wallet gone. He said, boss, oh, you have a wallet? Well, then you can pay the fine. I write it up. I could have stabbed the inquiry by inquiry. I did reverse. Look, you deal with the consequences, right? If you know you're going to get cussed, you take the cuss. If you know what you're doing is walking on the edge and you slip, you bruise your knee. That is life, sir. That is life. Good talking to you. Enjoyed it. Really did. Brass Dax, good afternoon.
Hello, very blessed afternoon.
Hey, ma'am. How are you?
Good. Yeah. I was here smiling a little, not laughing really. When the guy said that the information is on the ID and they're asking him the question, I was wondering if he ever liked his tip.
Why? What would happen?
Because when you fill out your form, and you fill out this, and you fill out that, and the information on your passport, they turn out actually the same thing that you have written out so that they can really see if you're telling lies or whatever, you know? So as we travel, we learn a lot of things. I just called to, because I'm concerned, because the situation is seem to be really getting to a lot of people. Got to me a little bit too. I'm just human. I'm trying to live along and draw the best out of the situation. I was at the supermarket yesterday, and they have this instrument now where you stand up in front of it and you pull down your mask. You see that one yet? And it takes your temperature.
Well, I didn't have to take down my mask for it to take my temperature. I leaned into it, put my forehead close to it, and it took the temperature off my forehead. What I was asked to take off the mask to do was to look at the camera so the camera could have a look at my nice white beard and, I guess, send it to somebody.
So the camera, it is for two things? It is
correct.
For reading.
Correct.
And it says two.
Correct. The camera is supposed to record your features so that if they have to trace the people who come in, they could check and say, okay, that person, face X, temperature was above, so that's the person we need to get at.
So that is instead of then people writing the name and address and all that.
Correct.
Oh, but who says is that you're gonna everybody line up to get the same thing done, and you are gonna pull down your mask to get your.
That's why you're supposed to not be right up behind the person in front of you pulling down their mask. You see, ma'am, and that's one of the reasons why I made the comment about managing the situation, conversing with the public, and sharing information in a manner in which they understand. If you have people, and it goes back to this comment I made about the security guard that got to the caller. If you tell the security personnel, tell the person to take down their mask, stick their face in that, and that's all you tell them. Then that's all you tell them. If you tell them the person has to come in one at a time, don't let them get too close to each other. Because, correct. So open the door, let in the first person, take their temperature, point them in the direction they're supposed to go, let in the next person, do that, and keep the flow going, but don't let them walk in one behind the other. Unless they're all together. So in other words, you come with your husband or you come with your child, the two of them come in together. But again, let one stand aside, take the picture, take the temperature, the next one. Because what's supposed to happen is you should have a face to match the temperature in case you need to take the person out.
Okay, even the monitors tell me what to do. So it's pretty good, but I'm just wondering how safe
how it works.
But I didn't know somebody called because I was doing something, wasn't able to listen in so much that about this kind of thing, because what upset me is it wasn't me. It was this gentleman. He looked like he was about in his 50s. He went up to the machine, and the guy, the very young guy, was telling him what to do. And he didn't want to listen to the young guy, the guard. He started out on the guy like, real crazy, like, and the fella just stepped back and said, well, all I'm telling you is what the people tell me to tell the people. And he carried on so bad, and then he said he'll go to the management for the guy. And the guy is, like, so young and nervous. And I said, I would ask him, well, he don't leave, boy, do he work? But a spirit said, don't say nothing to him. Don't say anything. And he went long quarreling, right? I don't know if he actually went down there and talked to management, but he went along. And after he left, he went to the young man and he said, listen, your bosses are not fire you for doing what they tell you to do. Because he was nervous, and he said he told me he gonna get me fired. I said, no, your bosses won't do that so long as you're doing what they tell you to do. And he said, thank you. Young fella, and what hurt me is he's an Islander, he's not a Bajan, you know, when he speaks, you understand. And I want people to know, we talking about white people, if black lives matter, it should matter to us first. It should matter to us first. Don't care where we come from. And the people don't generally come to Barbados to commit crime. They come to look for work. And this is a very young guy. And I spoke to him. He said, no, you don't be nervous about this. You know? And I'm just saying that in spite of whatever's going on, we still got to try and don't let everything get to us. And then I got home. You know what Laura said to me? It's a good thing you didn't say anything to that guy, because as I was looking at the gentleman, I saw that he was more frustrated and worried. Like something got he charged already then, so that when the fella tell him, you know, take the mask, pull it as far as there, whatever. To me, he came in with some kind of vexation before, and maybe something he's going through or whatever, but whatever we are going through, we don't take it out on each other and threatening people that looking for a little something to do. Let me go deeper in the love of Jesus. And these are the times. If COVID didn't teach me nothing, Mr. Johnson, I don't know what will. These are the times for people to really check themselves and to know that you need to treat each other better than this. Don't do that with the young people. We discourage them. A man in his 50s, don't do that. Thank you.
All right, ma'am. 434-1-790, 266-4862. You can reach us at brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. Another one of the things I saw that we're celebrating today, and one I really did flag, is World Standards Day 2020. So a message from the minister, Kerry Simmons, MP. I read an article that made reference to BNSI, I think it was in Barbados today, and the enforcing of standards, and whether or not you had enough people to do it, and various other comments like that. This question of standards, and what are the standards, and how we enforce them, and whether we have enough people in the field, and whether we test, and how often we test. One of the ongoing soapboxes that I like to climb on from time to time. I'll tell you why. Cellular phones, tablets, laptops. I have seen in the process of my working life, companies have bought laptops for their employees to perform their duties. And you would find that at a point, there was a laptop, a brand of laptop, that all the keys on all the laptops in the same place stopped working. So for example, if you looked at the keyboard, TYUHJKNM, comma, and maybe 5-6 in the figures went. So in other words, a section of the keyboard that you could almost diagonally take it out stopped working on all the laptops. Would that not suggest there was a problem with that particular batch? Now, would it mean that there was a recall? Did it mean that the company just got a deal with some cheap laptops that had a problem, but they pay for it anyhow? Cellular phones, there were a number of torches, that brand I knew, that burnt. Then there were concerns that there were companies selling cell phones as new ones that weren't new, that they'd previously owned, that they were not covered by any warranty, stories were in the newspapers. Companies by name selling them. The question is, how did they get here? Are there ways of testing? Are these things done by whom? Is the public made aware? We could go to cars that are recalled too. That are recalled in the U.S., deported or imported into Barbados, and we pay no attention to it, whether it is or it does not happen. How do you deal with it? So when we talk about standards and World Standards Day, in addition to the ministry's responsibilities, in addition to the BNSI's responsibilities, what's the responsibility of us as consumers and the people who provide us with goods and services if we have an issue with it, if we are concerned about the lack of enforcing of standards, what do we do? And sometimes in the messages I read and I try to find out, you know, and I get all the nice things, QI framework and CSQI and, you know, all the initials. And I get it. We sign on to all sorts of things. We have these protocols. But when you read the information, either the journalist not writing the information correct, or the information is hairy-fairy from the guardians that say, well, we're working on the introduction of new so-and-so, and there is a protocol that we will move to have implemented by the... That means what? Are we doing it or are we not doing it? Are we protected or are we not protected? We have standards or we don't have? Or we have standards and we're not enforcing them? The gentleman who ran in St. George North with the initials at the end of his name for Solutions Barbados. I remember in his other hat, he used to talk about building code over and over and over and over and over. If you ask the average Barbadian, what's the code? And how many houses are, you know, code ready, if you want to call it that? I doubt they could tell you. You know, if you buy a piece of wood that's supposed to be a 2x4 and is 2x3¾, you know, what do you do? How it get here? Why it on the shelf? Kind of thing, right? And then the other thing is, and that's why I used the one about the broadcast authority that says you can't use a disclaimer. Don't stop conflicts from saying, when packed, this box contained 45 ounces. I don't know if cornflakes evaporate after it in the box for a while. But anyhow, I suppose that's to prove that when you open it and the bag ain't full, it's not their fault, it's your fault. But when it was packed, it was apparently 45 grams. Now that you have it home, it's 43, that's your fault, not theirs. There's several messages on the WhatsApp, complete with videos, telling me that they don't know if I saw the video, but what the caller called a police body slamming the man and hitting the ground hard clearly did not happen. Let me repeat. One, people don't forward me videos by my request. Two, I can't tell the man what he saw. I don't know what he saw. So I can't get into that argument with him. If what he saw was what he said he saw, I could only let him say it. I can't tell him he didn't see it. See, sometimes when I try to challenge, I'm told I don't know everything. When I don't challenge, again, letting people get away with things. You can't win. I can't tell anybody what they saw or heard. I could just tell them either what I know or what I don't know. I don't like, people who know me know not to send me forwards, especially, you know, social media forwards. I just ignore it. There are a few people that I trust who can send me information. I would take it and respond to them. Because in this business, sir, sometimes you run with things and you end up having to pull it back. Brastax, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm all right.
Good. I heard you talking about a familiar place earlier. Smith Corner. That's the place I know very well.
Yeah, Roy Smith Shop. Yep.
Ryan Smith's shop. I just heard about the incident.
Yep.
It's sad. I go there occasionally. Yeah, but I
That's a landmark in that area, sir.
It's a landmark. You saw political meetings. They're all kind of things.
Yeah.
That's a landmark.
Yeah. It's there people if you're going go by Roy Smith's shop and then turn left for go.
Right, that's the landmark.
Yep.
And now in recent years, and then more after that, then we had Mike. So Mike's is now one of the landmarks. Right?
Correct. Correct.
Further end. At the
further
end.
Up. Mm, yep.
Yeah. Further up. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Dennis. I'm calling to clarify something because, as you said earlier, discussion that people tend to hear what they want to hear. Mm-hmm. But I should know that as well because I've taught communication in a course for well over 20 years. And one of the things with communication is that there are barriers to communication. A lot of these barriers are dependent on things, are developed through things by association, whether you belong to a church or a party or whatever. Mm-hmm. So you interpret things based on your personal experience or whatever. So, having said that, when I called in and I talked about a backbencher that day, I discovered when I would listen back that a gentleman who speaks about your point called in and he said that I wasn't making any point. He didn't understand what the point was. And then he said that I said that backbenchers do not get anything done. And it appeared to me that, I have to call his name, Glenn. I heard what the guy who was making the point said. I repeated the same thing on the platform. He didn't call my name, but this was the only calling program of the day that mentioned these things. I listened to them. I didn't say that backbenchers get nothing done. As a matter of fact, later in the night, I took the privilege. I taped it. I have it on my phone. What I did said that there was difficulty in getting things done. And I remember you asked me if about being heard. Mm-hmm. I told you it was not about being heard. It was about getting things done. Mm-hmm. Right? You remember that?
Mm-hmm. I remember the discussion, so yeah.
I said it was about getting things done. And let these people disabuse themselves about Parliament being a talk shop. Because it says stop being a talk shop. And even though Glenn himself was not the most eloquent or most grammatical of speakers, he did get things done. My friend Joe Edgell never gave an articulate speech. But Joe Edgell got things done. Duncan Carter was never eloquent, but he got things done. And I could call many more names. But let him go back and listen to the tape of that evening. And I said that a backbencher has to use various methods to get things done, including accessing people from their former lives. I said that. So that, for example, if you work in an organization, you could call somebody there and ask for a job for somebody who's not bad enough.
Correct.
Just like how we do, those of us who have had experience in community work, we have been able to do things. And let me talk about, for example, the Chancellor Lane Park and those roads up there, because I was in that neighborhood to watch when Mr. Roach, who used to work at GIS, was the chairman, Cheryl Roach, who became Cheryl Ford, father. And he was the president, I was the vice president. And we were able to get, Alvin Seeley was on that committee.
And
we weren't politicians,
man.
But we were able,
he was well-connected, the man had, clubs and associations that belong to. So, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And we were able to name those roads. We were able to get that part done. We got it maintained and all that. Mm-hmm. And we weren't politicians. And I could recount a lot of these things. People who are, so therefore, if you come to politics and you have a background like that, where you know how to get things done, it facilitates your getting things done. Even if you're a minister too, because sometimes ministers have difficulty. Because of the ministry that they hold, they might have difficulty in accessing state goods and services. And in this day and age, it is difficult to access state goods and services because there's little to give. So you have to use your ingenuity to work get. I would wish that people would listen instead of just running off ideas. And when I speak, right, because I have been a socialist, it doesn't mean I've spent most of my life as a community person and as a person involved in education, etc. So when I speak because of the various experiences I've had. So let them listen.
They won't.
And stop purveying lies and nonsense.
So I'll tell you the same thing I told Brother Nasser. People hear what they hear. They hear the person who's talking. They hear the person who's talking and not what they said.
No, I spent most of my life in community groups and neighborhood watches and PTA, all kinds of things. So I speak based on my experience, and politics has been the worst, well, perhaps one of the worst experiences of my life.
But isn't
it essential? I'm not crying it down, right, because it has taught me a lot and has built me as a person.
But isn't
you have to learn how to deal with people.
I was about to tell you, the community-wide contacts or the clubs and associations you belong to, in a lot of cases, those work more to your benefit than simply association with a political party. Because political parties, from time to time, will lose power. But the Rotary Club will always be the Rotary Club.
Okay,
the Lions will always be the Lions. The JCs will always be the JCs. You know. The National Organization of Women will always be the National Organization of Women, regardless of who the president is. So
the political parties don't have as much image and as much
as I say, they come and they go.
I think as those kind of organizations.
Yeah, you use those contacts. Well, my what I've seen and heard is that people use those contacts more sometimes in their political affiliations, and you're quite correct. Perhaps as politicians, they lean on those organizations because they know of their standing in the community. So that,
yeah,
for example, if you represent, Christchurch West, and Christchurch West has a problem with a roundabout that needs to be maintained, if you're a Rotary Club member, you call and say, Rotarian X, I'm Rotarian Y, we got a roundabout here. You know, you can't take that on as a project next time, and you get a roundabout fix up and you go to your constituents and you say, you know, we got a nice roundabout.
And that's again another point, right? And listen, this is another point, right? You know,
yes,
something like when you have been a teacher for many years, right? Secondary school, also post-secondary, mm-hmm, you build a lot of contacts. And then sometimes you go to university life, so you build contacts, mm-hmm, that you can use. So in the essence is that having contacts and being able to work hard, because things won't come easy. You have to go around and plead and beg and whatever to get things done and keep pursuing it and calling back. This is the essential point I was making.
It doesn't mean
that because you are sitting down with these people that they're necessarily going to look
after
your interests. It doesn't happen overnight. And I made the point as a backbencher, you are no better off usually than a person working in the community. When you get into politics, you have to make other sacrifices. For example, people say they're not employing you because you are politically compromised. I remember I used to do consultancies for CDB and training. I couldn't do those anymore after I got it. I had to give up a number of things because of my political involvement. I mean, I'm not trying to make myself look like anybody else, but I have to speak these things so that the people that just walk about and talk because they're for a party or whatever they choose to, or they probably feel like he's an idiot. He shouldn't got nothing to say. Right?
That ain't the reason. I think the reason is you just don't share the political beliefs of the person. So, you know, you write them off as being either a reject or someone who jumped from one side to the other, and you find a reason to put them on the side. Good hearing you, sir. Thank you for your comments. They were enlightening. WhatsApp message said, good day, Dennis. Could you issue a warning to motorists on the way down Hines Hill? The light's in traffic and the bees are swarming. Mr. Gibson might tell you it's pending weather, so whether that's good or that's bad, I don't remember. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Okay. Hello?
Mr. Johnson.
Sir.
How are you?
I'm all right, and you?
Well, you sound all right to me anyway.
I try.
Always, you always do. Anyhow, Mr. Johnson, I heard, is it, I don't know if I heard the right thing. Is Barbados on the high risk for COVID-19 or something like that?
No, it's not. As a matter of fact, it's on a low risk. I had somebody who sent me, a message saying they just returned to the UK and they did not have to quarantine or anything because Barbados was low risk.
Yeah, well, I thought I heard on the news just now, Antigua, Trinidad, and the Barbados. I said, how could they have Barbados on a high risk when we don't have anything here near enough? And, you know.
As far as I know, we're low risk. I don't know where what they're worried, if that is somebody who put us there, but we have been classified as a low risk country.
Well, that's what I thought, too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. My second problem, Mr. Nassau, I was listening to him for over a year now, anyway, and I don't think he understands that black, especially Belgians, don't put their money together. Black Belgians don't put their money together. So he keeps going on and on, but what I worry about more than anything else is, what about the black guys overseas that have businesses and have white people working for them and white people buying their stuff? This station is broadcast all over the world now, you know, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And that don't sound too good every week. You come up with the same thing over and over, black and white. Forget the black and white thing and get on with what you want to say, you know. Look at today's paper, all the jockeys that win races at Woodbine, you know, in Toronto and in Winnipeg and all over the places. They're not working for black people. They're working for white people. You know, in Scarborough alone, we got so many Barbadians that got businesses that employ white people, and white people buy their stuff as well, you know. So I think that's the only thing I don't like about it, you know.
Okay.
And the third thing is the Miss Redmond. Is she head of education or something?
No, Miss Redmond is the president of the Barbados Secondary Teachers Association, the BSTU. By the way, I'm told the United States has classified Barbados at high risk level 3.
But that's what I heard not long ago.
Yeah, that's what someone asked me to just check the status, and I checked it, and that's what it said, yeah. The USA has classified it, us as high risk.
They will do anything anyway. Yeah, Miss Redmond.
It's gone knocking, getting back.
Yeah, I was watching the news, not last night, the night before, and she was talking about the kids not wearing the masks, and I thought that was supposed to be somebody in the education job to do, not Miss Redmond.
Why not?
No.
Well, when you say someone in education, Miss Redmond is in education. She's a teacher. She is head of the Barbados Secondary Teachers Union.
I thought she was the head of the union or something. I didn't know
she's a teacher. She's a teacher. She's an educator.
Oh, she's a teacher.
Yeah, she's an educator. Yeah, she is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she is.
Yes, well, it appears that she always seems to be up front before Miss Bradshaw.
Miss Bradshaw is the Minister of Education.
Right.
Right. Miss Redmond represents the Teachers Association. If the teachers have a concern, she would raise it. The president of the Barbados Union of Teachers, wanted to, he would as well. So that's the reason why.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
All right.
Okay.
Okay,
that's my beef for today, old boy.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Someone else has sent me a message telling me that CD has placed us under level 3, which classifies us as high risk. It's interesting how and why we are classified the way we are. You know, this information, they're going to go back to the information spread, because I had a long discussion last night with my daughter. I'm going to identify you, darling, sorry, but I will. It was about the opportunities that sometimes are presented, and either through a lack of information or through, for other reasons, they're not taken up. We were having a discussion about the Inter-American Development Bank and grant fundings provided to the islands to help to combat issues with COVID. And she was outlining to me the number of programs that have been instituted in our Caribbean islands, and the grant funded has been taken up by persons to do various things. Grow and deal with cut flowers in Grenada, and in other Caribbean countries, what was done. The curious thing was, apparently, there were no applications from Barbados for requests for grant funding. And the persons who actually give the grants were questioning why, whether it was the fact that people didn't know or if there was some other reason. And I was told that they actually reached out to various places in Barbados, hotels, restaurants, and said, look, there's grant funding available for retraining various purposes. Go online, fill out the application form, and you may be able to access some of the grant funds. Now, this is grants, right? This is not loans. This is grant, as in, you know, free money, if you want to call it that, if there's any such thing. And there was still no response. So the organizations were called back and asked, why haven't you sent the information to us? And in one case, they were told the application form too long. If we have issues of maintaining business, starting businesses, setting up funds, if you have, it's presented today, earlier on, opportunities for training, opportunities for scholarships. Yes, there are those who say they have applied and been turned down, but they were given the reason. The question, though, is why is there a reluctance in some cases to take advantage of those offers when in other countries they're being snapped up? And why it is, even when presented with the opportunity to do so, persons are reluctant, while others may exploit it, take the funding, and don't do what they said they were going to do with it, and then make it difficult for other people. Is there a problem inherent in the things we do or are involved in that make us hesitate rather than going ahead when an opportunity presents itself? Brass X, good afternoon. You get the final shot, it seems.
Just one question.
Sure.
How we can be always when being on a local transmission and we allowing persons to come in, especially from the United States and England and the COVID country. No, every day, say we don't want them, it would be another story. So the government really got checked out. Oh, we could be always.
I have no idea, ma'am. And that's why I say to people all the time, it's not what you are. It's what people perceive of you. And if what you do is try to make yourself what people say you are, then you become discontented with who and what you are, and you'll be neither fish nor fowl. The WhatsApp message says, we take in people from the States. Quite a bit of them test positive for COVID-19. They're basically the epicenter for COVID-19. We just have a few cases here. Three or four of those cases came from the United States, and they label us high risk. That's one of the best I've heard all day. Don't laugh at it, okay? And the person asked me, can I ask Mr. Ellis to contact the representative from the U.S. Embassy to tell us why we are placed on level 3? Mr. Ellis is the station manager. I could advise the head of news and public affairs who, you know, deals with news and public affairs to call them. But yeah, okay. The question, though, is, well, even if we find out who placed us there and why, then what? No, seriously, then what? Is the level 3 rating saying to people in the United States, don't travel to Barbados? Is it telling the people in the world, don't travel to Barbados? Is it having an impact on the people who wish to travel? Is it getting in the way of us doing business with the U.S. or people there? You see, people, especially countries that feel you're not toeing the line, will find ways to try to sabotage you or what you do. That's what we need to understand in this geopolitical game that we want to get involved in. America's in the throes of an election. Americans don't usually travel in an election year, one. There is the COVID challenge. There is the challenge with crews. There is the challenge with flights. and the travel industry and the hotel industry worldwide facing challenges. Therefore, countries that seeking their own interest will try to keep their people within their borders any which way they can. So when people make these comments about your association with China causing this, and Britain ain't have your back anymore, and if you become a republic, the white people ain't gonna like you. All these things that we hold in our minds because we believe that people like us, begin to change your opinion. Because it's not what you do, it's what people look at you and think. Including the comment that the gentleman was quoted earlier as saying, that don't expect to get any waiver of your debt because Caribbean people are richer than a lot of developing countries. So when you boast about how good your GDP is, your level of income, and how good your social services are, the same measuring stick, let me quote my old lady, that's used to tell you how good you are, is the same measuring stick that they use to cut your rear end, or at least in this case, ours. I suppose I could say we without getting flogged by it, because I can get flogged by it too. Thank you for your contributions on this, the Thursday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Thank you, John, for keeping me along the straight and narrow. I'll be back tonight at 7 o'clock and put on my musical hat and relax for a little bit and just enjoy the nighttime. Until then, be good.